Dear Shooter, we have talked about having bad days, but what happens when that day physically or mentally changes you? Do you put your personal goals on a back burner, or do you get up and face the world again? Today, we talk to Jen about the things she faces day to day after her incident.
Of course I'm happy.
I'm just checking because I'm like getting the stink eye here.
Go do your thing, but get good at your craft first. And put your budget to things that really matter at the end of the day. You want to get good at it. And make no mistake about it, that's training. Let's face it. If you have a size 62 waist, you are not as tactical as 5'11 might think you are. And we've all seen it.
Wow. Feel the love.
There it is. And Brandon chimes in. All of the sensibilities of the family.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. I am your host, Jason Crotto. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance, and Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
But it matters to me.
Wow. Which way? And she chimes in.
Which way's left?
With... All right, so happy Thursday, and we are back with Pivotal Defense, and we were talking with Jen, and one of the things we got talking about is being able to push on in the face of adversity. Now, you had an accident, pretty severe.
Yeah.
And even after all of that, you still felt compelled to go and train and do and make yourself better.
Yeah, I was hit by a car and I flew like 12 feet. You can Google Minneapolis traffic control agent hit by car. And there's, I don't know how many videos out there, but there's a lot.
And we'll post that to the
yeah.
website.
So I walked like a very old person for weeks and I ended up having 3 surgeries from it. I have muscle and nerve damage now. But I started training and it hurt. It hurt really bad at the very beginning. Gradually, I've learned to either deal with it or got along with the pain or something. But it's bringing me to a point where there's no excuses.
So let me ask you this. Like, what compelled you to, despite the pain, despite the discomfort, to still go and train?
I told her she should. I'm just kidding.
I'm not buying that.
For number one, super important, right? To train. Second, it's fun, right? And I want to protect myself and my family and my babies. And I just keep pushing.
So after your accident, what trainings did you go through?
My very first class was with Kevin Dixie, and I did a 2-day Evolve 2 class, and it was hard. Standing actually is the worst kind of pain, but obviously moving up and down from the ground and up, I could not do. I still need assistance to this day in some sort of fashion for some things that we do. But it's gotten a little bit easier. But I pushed through. I know, halfway into the first day, Clayton's like, you're going to do the second day. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm coming back. 'Cause I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it through the first day, and I didn't know, if I'd get to the second day. So, but I wanted to come back and I wanted to keep pushing no matter how much pain I was in, because it was worth it.
Well, and Kevin Dixie's Evolve 2 that's a no joke class.
No joke.
It you get pushed, and it's physical and it's hard. And so what we're talking about here is really psychological. It's that mental fortitude to push yourself past what you think you can do.
Absolutely. It's a mindset. I don't ever want to give up. I keep pushing forward, and I don't want to ever be just a handicapped or disabled person for the rest of my life. Like, I want to just keep pushing forward and try to be better, maybe feel better, whatever would make me feel better. I will do it.
But despite the injuries, though, you still want to have, you have that mindset of wanting to protect your family and be an asset to your community.
Absolutely.
And that speaks volume. And she's taken several classes after that accident.
Oh, yeah. I haven't stopped. I just...
It's in every class. I'm not saying it's just because I'm married to her. I'm saying it's because it's other people have noticed it, too. It's she pushes and gives her all every class. And literally, there's times where I'm thinking to myself, she's going to struggle with this drill. And yet, I can see her struggling, but she doesn't let it stop her.
And I still beat the boys.
Well, and okay, yeah. So first of all, you're saying this because you don't want to get your throat slit in your sleep.
And I'm hoping she lets me, you know, maybe bring something home. I don't know. There's a few objects I need.
Not the blonde at the other end of the range.
No.
I don't really know what you're saying there.
That's why I said optics. You didn't hear me say optics.
Nobody heard optics.
I don't think they did either. But that's what I was talking about, optics. I could use a few lucid optics, just saying.
So, second of all, handicapable.
Yes.
But it is. It's all about what you are capable of doing.
Yep.
And it's finding that mental fortitude. And like you said, it's that mentality of I'm going to do this despite any physical limitations I may bring to the table. One of the things that we talk about in the beginnings of our classes are, does somebody have a physical limitations? Are there ambulatory issues? Because if there are, if you've got a good instructor, they're going to find that workaround that's going to allow you to still gain the skill set.
Yes.
And work with what you have to work with.
Absolutely. Yep. I know that in every single classes that I've taken, I have told the instructor my issues, and obviously they're always thanks for letting me know, you know, if you struggle through something or if you, whatever it might be, just let me know and we'll work through it. But I know after that first class, I honestly, after those 2 days, I walked like I did after my accident. That's how bad I was hurting. Mm-hmm. But I still keep coming back for more.
Right.
It, each time it's gotten a little easier. Doing classes, doing 1 day classes, doing 2 day classes, it's gotten a little bit easier each time.
Well, and you talk about having that conversation with your instructor, and it is a conversation.
It is.
And this is something that we've talked about. One of the things that we do in our classes, we talk about comfort and we talk about physical comfort, and specifically what we're talking about is, can you physically do what it is I'm asking you to do? And if you can't, if you have an issue, if you have an injury, if you have some kind of, you know, whatever issue it might be. I had rotator cuff surgery. I had knee surgery, whatever. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or I have this limitation. It's incumbent on your instructor to figure that out. We one of the things that we talked about in another podcast was we talked about vetting instructors. And this is one of those things that if you've got an instructor that sits there and goes, well, if you can't do this, I can't help you. I think it's time to find a different instructor.
There's also a point where the victim actually uses their crutch.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Right. And so they never try. And they just stay the way they are.
Even in that 90-minute class that we had with you that day at Train and Learn, like, I tried. I tried, I don't know how many times, to do the broke back. Prone.
I'm never going to live that down.
Look at the hesitation to say, like, I'm just going to say, broke back prone. Like, screw it. Let's do this.
I don't want to fudge it up. But I tried. I probably took a good minute, or if not more, to figure out how the heck am I going to do this? and I tried, and I don't even know, Jason, if you said anything to me, but I may have said, I don't think I can do this, so I might just do it a different way, or maybe you suggested it, but I tried.
No,
and
I did.
I never not try.
No, I do remember it, and you were trying every which way you could think of to get in that position. You just flat couldn't. Your body would not allow it. So we found a workaround.
Yep.
And it ended up working for you, actually, better than most people. We found a different position for you that worked, and you pretty much outshot the rest of your group.
Yeah.
She did. I mean, I struggle with that. You know, it's that unorthodox shooting position that you had us do is not easy, let alone somebody with limitations, you know.
Right.
And to sit back and watch her from the sideline and just watch her go through that, as it was, to me, was like, she's got no quit in her.
No, and I remember giving her a good minute and a half.
You gave her
plenty
of time.
And she was getting upset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to do it.
Why? Well, really?
But it just
did.
Like it, she was like getting mad at herself because her body wouldn't allow it.
Yep.
And that's when I was like, okay, we need to step in and figure this out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's she's really overcome a lot of it, and like I said, from the side point of it, it's that first class. I know for a fact everybody that took that class was shocked that you made it through those 2 days, because they saw how bad you were hurting. They literally, I mean, they all, like, gave you a round of applause at the end of it, because they were shocked that you went through it, and they're proud that you went through it. I mean, shit, I was proud of you. But you had no quit in you that entire weekend.
Yeah, you push through the pain. You have that mindset. You stay positive. I'm usually already a positive, optimistic person. So I just look forward. I don't look back, because we're always going forward.
Well, and the touchback on train learn too, like when you gave her a different approach to it,
mm-hmm.
It kind of touches on, like, you know, you had that, the broke back prone, and it was not the way, it was a way. And then as an instructor, you helped somebody out with that physical ability that couldn't do it. Okay, cool. Let's try this way. Now it's just another tool for the toolbox. You know,
And I kind of struggle with that tool for the toolbox theory. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Because as an instructor, what I want to do is I want to teach you the best way that it, right. Okay, if you were to present me with five different ways to do something, right? I'm going to find what's going to work the best. And it's the best for the most plausible set of circumstances. And that doesn't mean that it's the best forever. Okay, it's the best that we have right now, and so that's what I'm going to teach. But I also have to have open those other options for someone that maybe cannot physically perform what it is I'm asking them to do.
Right.
Okay. So I do have to have, from an instructor point of view, yes, you have to have those tools in your toolbox,
mm-hmm.
because you have to have those options for those students that maybe necessarily can't necessarily do what it is that you want them to do. But from a student base, I'm not going to burden you with five different ways to do something. I'm going to give
you
the best.
Right. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
I wanted to do it.
So do you still work in the same line of work as you did when you got hit by the car?
No. I I went back to that position, but never directed traffic again.
Was that a mental fear? Because that can always happen again. That can happen to anybody that's out there doing it now.
Absolutely, that can happen. I mean, honestly, that can happen to anyone who's walking a crosswalk.
Wait a minute. I thought pedestrians had the right of way.
Not always.
Okay,
oh,
for
speed
one,
bump.
For one, don't trust people just driving. Like, people are so trustworthy in other people driving their vehicles.
Not around here.
Well, anywhere. Like, I mean, I still have PTSD from walking in parking lots and walking in the crosswalk. I had to walk through the intersection, not in the intersection, but in the crosswalk of that same intersection the other day. And I had to keep looking back to make sure there wasn't that random person going through that intersection at a high rate of speed wanting to hit me. But I still have that PTSD, but I don't know.
I think it's important to note that, like, when we say you were hit by a car, like, you were hit.
It
was not a love tap.
Right, and that was going to be the next question. And you don't necessarily have to answer this, but was it an accident or was this intentional?
Actually, so immediately, I first thought it was intentional. That was my very first thought. And then I couldn't feel anything from my waist down. I thought I was paralyzed. So I had two major things going on right now, because I was in uniform thinking, did someone just hit me intentionally? Because that's what it felt like.
Right.
Because I had done that job for 4 years and no one else previously, probably before me, has gotten an incident. But in my 4 years of doing that job, it had not happened.
And this happened in
2016.
Okay, so this was before we had the whole defund the police and all the riots and everything.
Yep.
So, okay. So you still, your first thought was this was intentional.
I did.
Was that the mood in the city where you worked?
No, but being in uniform, I mean, there's always people out there who don't like people in uniform or don't like the cops. And
there's also the side that is the time frame of cell phones and things we're doing that we're not supposed to be doing.
It's
he was in the wrong lane.
Well, it's plausible that he was possibly talking on his phone at that time, but it wasn't illegal at that time.
But you're still talking about the time frame of when we had the knockout game.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember that?
No.
So that was when people were, and they were filming on cell phones, and then posting online, they would walk up to somebody random
and just knock them out.
Okay.
Yep, remember that.
So I could see where that would be a next step. So I can definitely see where you would think that this was intentional.
Kind of like what your body and your mind does in certain situations, like fight or flight. You don't know until that happens. And so my mind was just going into panic mode, like, why did this happen to me and wasn't it intentional?
Right.
And I mean, when I got the phone call, I had very limited information too. So I didn't know if it was intentional. I didn't know if it was an accident. All I got was, Jen was hit by a car, but she's okay. That's all I got. Okay, well, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Obviously still alive, but okay in what aspect, you know?
Right.
So I had no idea what to expect either. Then, you know, I went down and was at the hospital with her. So, but yeah, it was a trip.
I shouldn't even say walked out. I was wheeled out with 800 milligram of ibuprofen.
I married Superwoman. I swear to God.
You said that a few times.
Like, no, I'm not kidding you. To see what she's done even after that accident it's been like, training aside, you know, we talk about mindset a lot within this community, right? And, you know, it's been incredible to see her walk through this and push through all that and all the pain and just keep growing as an individual. And she does very well.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I met you guys at Train and Learn.
Right.
And that was the first time I met Jen. And I didn't even know until you told me. The way you carry yourself, nobody would ever know.
Right.
Now, here's a technical question for you. And we talk a lot about tachypsychia, bradypsychia, the way the brain speeds up some things and slows down some things. In your incident, when you got hit, do you remember any specific details? Did time slow down for you? Did it speed up?
It felt like forever that the paramedics showed up, even though they were literally a block away. Traffic was backed up. I remember sirens. Like I said, I remember actually, I didn't know if the person who hit me left and my coworker ran to me if asking if I was okay. Like, who was this person? What do they look like? I couldn't feel my waist down. So there are a lot of things that I still remember to this day, what was going through my brain and how I felt.
So I'm assuming since the incident, you've probably seen the police report of what happened and timelines and things like that. Does it match up to your memory?
That's a really interesting question because so the first time I saw the video was like a month or so after the accident, and I went to go to the records department to view the video, and I watched it and I literally looked at the person who showed it to me and I said, "That's it," because the pain that I went through felt like it could have been way worse, like way more. So that was my initial reaction. But the as far as the report, like I don't know. The report was mostly on the person that hit me.
Right. No, it's one of these things that we talk about is, you know, in one of the examples we use is, especially out here in the West, you know, most people have hit a deer, right? And they always seem to remember, like, they can count the hairs on the deer's nose, right? But they don't remember, hey, I have to take my foot off the accelerator and move it over and apply the brake. And that's the difference between the tachypsychia, bradypsychia thing. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of an extreme case. Did you see the car coming at you?
I remember it being red. I didn't see a person, a bigger vehicle. It was an SUV. I did remember that. I don't know if it felt like it was really slow-mo. Really at that time, I think after it happened, it was all very slow motion. It just happened really, really fast.
Now that, and of course, and that makes sense because one of the things that we do know about psychology is especially with traumatic events, people tend to block it out to a certain extent. People that have been in explosions, people that have been shot, people that have been in comas, and they come out and they don't remember the actual event.
Yeah, I mean, that's, of course, possible. There still could be a lot of things that went through that, my brain, my eyes that day, that I still don't recall that day. There also is some issues that I might have had with memory issues, but I never hit my head. So I don't know. There's also that factor as well.
Well, if they had hit your head, then you wouldn't have got anything vital, right?
Thank goodness I didn't hit my head. Right. Didn't end up in a wheelchair, but I definitely, I walked. I was in a wheelchair for a little bit, but and then crutches for several weeks.
Wheelchair for about a block to the car to go home.
I literally walked like a 100-year-old person for weeks.
But you walked. And that feeds back into mindset.
Yep.
And your determination to live a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah, I still got from point A to point B, even though it might have taken me way longer than most people. And it still does. I can't walk to this day as fast as a lot of people can. I'm like, I don't walk as fast as you.
It's the short legs.
I'm not that short. I do have a tall husband and he walks really fast, but
that's because
he's running away from you.
True story.
I should be running away from him.
Jason, can I stay with you? I'm going to stay here now.
I'll go to Utah by myself.
Oh, shit.
But, I mean...
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company is an extension of the mountain lifestyle, bringing together the old and the new. Generation after generation, men and women alike all share the same passion. Enjoying it for a day, a weekend, a lifetime, or somewhere in between, no matter how long it's embraced, the combination of friends, mountains, memories, and spirits brings people together like no other. To encourage these relationships and to embrace the mountain lifestyle, and to honor the 10th Mountain soldiers who inspired our way of life, they have created a tribute spirit company in Vail, Colorado. Not only is it a tribute to the 10th Mountain soldier, but it's also a tribute to those that enjoy the mountain lifestyle, living it fully every day. Support those that support us. And to make it easier, 10th Mountain has offered our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off your next order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Your story is, and it's, I want to say that it's an inspiration, but it's also, it's played out every day.
Yep.
People, they have traumatic injuries, they have traumatic accidents like this, and they still move forward. And you are one of those people that's an example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I always, like I said, I'm positive, I'm optimistic. I just really push forward, and you know, my even my dad, I'm just recently got diagnosed with something, and he's like, I'm not quitting, I'm gonna push forward. So I really do think that I got that from him, but. I think it's a huge mindset, and don't give up. Keep pushing forward. Look to the future, and it's going to get easier over time. It's going to get better.
I mean, you guys, I mean, the injuries you had, too, and the surgeries, I mean, it's a testament, too, of all, what you've all went through as well, you know? You had, what, three surgeries?
Three surgeries. Yeah. I ended up having my gallbladder taken out in that time frame as well, which
it was fun.
Could be plausible from that. I don't know. But so four surgeries in 2 years and all in that general range. So it was hard. It was a hard 2 years. That's for sure.
So what's the future look like for you? Are you going to continue your training?
Absolutely. I'm never going to stop. I might be like 100 years old and still on the range. I'm still going to do it.
See, and
yeah, your great grandma lived to, like, what, 100 and
103.
Yeah, so it's definitely possible that could happen.
It's in my genes.
Okay, so we're into plausibility now.
Yep, we're good. Yeah.
So what's the next class for you?
Next class.
Which one do we have on the books?
I mean, it's winter. Things slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
but
let that stop you.
I hear WyoTech has a 3-day long range in May.
I do. I did hear that.
I did.
It might be.
But you're teaching it, right? That's the only way we're coming.
Not that one, because, you know, day one I could get through. Like day two, he likes to math, and I don't math.
Math okay. is fun.
Perfect. You'll love it.
You know, and it.
And chances are she'll probably shoot out to a mile and hit it and I'll miss.
It's been said, like, snipers aren't the deadliest because they carry the biggest guns. It's because they've learned to weaponize math. And to a certain extent.
And be patient.
Yes. Right. And to a certain extent, that is very true.
So you're saying I suck at math. I'm going to struggle in that
you
class.
You suck
yes.
at being patient, too. So you need to, like,
ADHD
work
like
on some
mofo.
Things.
I'm going to have to take some, like, ADHD meds before that class.
No, but not only am I being a student first along with Clayton, but I'm also an educator, an instructor, and I'm doing both. And I'm standing, moving, doing all the things.
And I think we're going to tap you to come out and teach a women's clinic with us in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I'd love to.
I think that's going to be awesome. But you keep pushing forward.
Yep.
And what drives you?
Ooh, good question.
There's so many things.
It's not you, Clayton.
I know it's not me. I know it's not.
I mean... my children, the people who I run into on a daily basis, my passion, I guess all those things combined.
And I think a lot of people, they look at things like their family. They look at things like their profession. And they see those as an obligation. And that's why they have to keep going. Is that the way you see that?
I have never thought my family as an obligation. Ever.
Wow, Clayton, you're disposable.
Maybe. I was like, maybe Clayton.
Yeah, I saw that side eye. I'm like, Jason, can I sleep in your guest room tonight? Might have to.
I mean, maybe not my kids. This one.
I heard raising your mother-in-law's child is the hardest.
At least I know.
Oh
where,
my gosh.
At least I know where I stand now. So that's why the dog sleeps in our bed all the time. Shit.
I feel your pain.
I know. I'll cuddle with you, Jason. It's
okay. See, they're my other babies too.
But yeah, I mean, it's that was a good question, that, you know. But I mean, what would you? I'm gonna ask. What would you tell somebody that says that they don't think they can do it because of a physical injury? I mean, obviously, you can, but like, if you had to go into depth on that answer,
I'm literally not the only one. I have just even in this industry, in this community, I have come across people who have are physically worse off than me, and push just as hard as me, and they won't stop. So don't stop. Just do what your heart feels and just keep moving. Especially you're only as old as you feel. So
don't even talk to me about being old.
That's why I feel like I'm 12. Got it. Yes.
Because we stop maturing at 12.
Exactly.
That's the thing. We're 12 until we're like 70.
It all makes sense.
And then
now
we start regressing.
Honey, you're an immature 12-year-old.
Me too.
I mean, I think in this day and age, like the older we get, and most people are out there like still going to the gym, trying to get better and eating better. You know, some people can't eat certain things, or they've learned to deal with different kinds of foods, or like our son has epilepsy and different like the keto diet or whatever it may be. There's always a way. And if it might be a different path than mine, find your way.
And I think that ties into something that we've talked about before, that our culture, the gun culture, it's a better culture. You talk about people that in our industry that have inspired you, that have gone through the same kind of things that you have, or in some cases even worse. You know, we're talking about veterans that are missing limbs that still find a way to move on. And I think they inspire us, and they have an attitude that keeps us going even when we're kind of in that feeling of despair.
You know, people who I thankfully have, you know, I didn't break up any bones that day.
How did you not?
I don't know. This is a real wood, right?
Yes. So, she's young. She was still made of rubber.
I have never broken a bone. My grandmother had osteoporosis, so I'm not sure, but
she drinks a lot of milk.
Just wait till you hit menopause.
Let me tell you.
Well, I'm just thankful. And but to really look at the people who have it worse than me, physically, they're in my inspiration. And it's always really interesting, even if they're not in our community or not in the industry, they are an inspiration to everyone and to us all for what they do and keep moving forward. And just really enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. And we have to excuse Clayton. It's his first podcast.
It's the whiskey.
So. Oh, is that what it is? Blaming
keep
it?
Blaming the whiskey.
He blaming the booze.
He did drive like 9 hours today or whatever it was.
God, excuses. we're eliminating excuses.
You're supposed
that's
to be
what
pushing
this podcast
through
is.
It.
Right?
I'm push sorry. Through it. I will push through it. I'll do better next time, I swear.
But I think you're absolutely right. I think we look to people that we see, and it's a weird thing to do, but I think it's a human thing to do. We look at someone who is that we perceive to be worse off than we are, and still somehow striving and thriving, and we see that as an inspiration, and it keeps us pushing forward.
Yeah, if you know someone who might be dealing with more crap than you are, they should be an inspiration to you.
Yeah, but God damn it, this is the United States. Nobody's dealing with more crap than we are.
Well, and like, you know, I had shoulder surgery a number of years ago, so I still deal with, you know, issues from that. It doesn't stop me from doing what I'm doing in training, and I know that's minor compared to what she's been through, you know. So I look at that, it's like, well, if she can go through this class and not complain, why should I complain about her, you know, shoulder aspects and injuries?
Because you're a boy. When we both get colds, I'm cleaning the house. And you're whining like a bitch.
Hey.
Oh,
I identify as a, what was it again?
Which one?
The trans.
Oh, transgender scope.
Yes, that's what I identify as. So,
he complains a lot.
So nothing on you makes sense and the knobs don't work.
Exactly.
You walked into that one, didn't you?
I did.
You have listened to the podcast,
I have.
Right?
I have. Okay. That's why I'm having fun with this. It's okay. See, I can take it. It's all good. But no, it's, you know, she's absolutely right. You know, and we talk about our son sometimes and how he, you know, both of us have been to his appointments and stuff. We look at these other kids who, their condition's worse than Cameron. And for me, you know, that's an inspiration because it's like, okay, you know, Cameron, yeah, he's got a situation that he's dealing with, but it always could be worse, but he still pushes every single day. And, I, you know, it's just one of those things. So,
yeah, most of the time, I know you saw a brief moment when he was not the greatest, but that kid is normally literally the happiest, goofy-ass kid you can ever meet.
To be fair, he got up at 4 this morning.
He did.
He was so tired.
No, and I, you know, and I think it helps that Brandy and I both understand autism, mm-hmm. and that condition, right?
Right.
We've both had people in our lives that have been afflicted, mm-hmm. and I think that helps, because it's not so much of a discomfort for you, but
I don't know, as a mother that has one, it is still a discomfort whether someone says they have experience or not. You still have that cringing feeling every time something doesn't go quite right.
I get that.
Yeah.
It was a rough afternoon. I'm just going to leave it at that.
But it
was rough. But, you know,
I totally understand.
Also, because no one person who has autism is the same.
They're not.
They're not.
Absolutely not.
You know, and that touches on something else, too. I think, if you don't mind, I want to touch on something else. I noticed you're wearing the same thing that I'm wearing. I think you are, aren't you? No, different. But
a little different.
A little bit different, but the same thing. We talk about mental health as well.
Mm-hmm.
And having that community around you as well is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. And I think you on both of us, and we're fortunate to have some really great people around us, and that helps as well too. And I think that's part of, you know, with her situation, her accident, that, I don't know, did that play a part of that positive mental health keeping you through all that too?
Yeah, I really think it's important to keep optimistic, positive people in your life. All that toxic drama crap, I swear that just probably decreases your age limit.
Well, you came onto the wrong podcast because we're like a soap opera around here.
She clearly has not listened to the show.
No, but like real toxic drama crap, just that really stresses you out and frustrates you. And like, push all those people out and bring in those people who are optimistic and positive and just like really can lift you up and not push you down, because that's really what can empower somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's important to have a support system in whatever form that you need.
When you want to talk about support system, I could touch on that. Because literally a year ago, I don't know. Yeah, I told you, Jason, a year ago, right? What I had?
Yeah.
Yeah. So literally a year ago, I ended up having a form of tongue cancer. And I found out literally right before we went to USCC Expo in Dallas. And going down there and having that support system and the people that were there, the people that I wanted to tell, hey, this is what's up. Everybody in my corner was there lifting me up like, hey, you got this, you know, hey, whatever you need. And a few of those people were, you know, Jake Wisgerson and Mike Cedini from Walk the Talk America.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys, even to this day, since I met them, are my friends. And having that support is great. And that's just, it's like you said, like Jen said, lifting you up, whether it's you're dealing with what I dealt with or a special needs child or her accident or all these things, life is going to happen. But having that support system, being positive is important, keeping your mental health in check. And having an outreach to, or a resource, I should say, to have in your back pocket is huge. And I thank those guys and everybody else at that point in time in my life that was there for me, because it did suck. Literally, I went through a week, probably the best week of your life, because I couldn't talk.
It's true.
But she also saw, I would say probably me at probably one of the worst parts when I couldn't talk, I couldn't swallow, I couldn't do nothing. And mentally, I was in a bad spot. It wasn't the cancer. It wasn't anything that got to me. It was the mental aspect of that really, really ate at me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had that drive and the push through that trying to stay positive. But it having the people, right people around me helped with that.
It always does. And the right people, you know, they're going to support you.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
At the same time, they're going to give you crap and tell you, you know, these are the dangers of cunnilingus.
Right, exactly. Oh, shit.
And Jen's turning red.
Yep.
She was just wondering where he had been.
Oh, wow, you shit. Went there.
Damn. Wow. That escalated quickly.
And that is why that is the dangers of being on the Deer Shooter podcast.
Yep. Hey, I'm in the crosshairs. It's all right.
I'm very supportive.
Thank you for your support. But no, like, but it's true. And, you know, and I tell people all the time, and actually one of the cool things that I do in our classes, we talk about mental health a lot. And we bring this positive aspect and that positive drive, because I want people to understand that you have a resource, you have people that are going to be there for you, whether you know it or not. At this point in time, there is people there that care, whether you know them or not. And like I said, Walk to Talk America is one of those resources for us.
They're an absolutely great resource.
Oh my God.
And I think they're finally shining a light on something that's been an issue for a long time.
Yes.
The gun community especially has had a hard time reaching out for help, regardless of the issue. You know, you talk about cancer, you talk about your accident.
Yep.
Okay. They don't want to reach out. They don't want to ask for help because they're scared that they're going to be stereotyped. And now they're going to be in danger of losing their rights.
Right.
And I think Walk to Talk America has been a huge resource in eliminating a lot of those stigmatisms.
Yes. And I mean, I'd never been at that point of crisis where I've had those thoughts, but having that resource has been very helpful. And I mean, if you listen to, did you ever hear Pete's story from Carolina Customs?
Mm-hmm.
His story is powerful as hell.
Yep.
And I know they were just here in Wyoming talking about it, him and Devin. I mean, everybody there, and like I agree with you, they're making some, they're really starting to shine and do their thing, and I couldn't be more happy to support them and do what they're doing, because it is important. We talk about it all the time, and it's honestly the first time I've ever kind of, I'm briefly opening up about what we deal with on a daily basis as far as mental health with, you know, I had the cancer, her accident, but the main thing is you know, dealing with a special needs child. I mean, that's mm-hmm. mentally draining on somebody.
Well, it's huge.
And having these the resources and the people, I've talked to Pete how many times, hey, man, because I have those people that I can call. Mm-hmm. And that helps me get through my day-to-day, because my day-to-day sometimes can be hell. And I have that drive, I have that motivation, and those people that are my corner, and I can call on them. So it's a huge help.
And I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier, and I've said this before on this podcast, that the gun culture is a better culture. We are the culture that embraces the foundation of this country. We're a moral people. We are a supportive people, and we want to see each other succeed. Regardless of our own success, we're not in it for ourselves. We're in it for our community. We're in it for our culture. We're in it for our country. And I think that shines through with everything that we do for each other.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
100%.
So, we've talked a little bit about what you've got for the future, and Brandy's over here looking at the time. You just stop that. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Do what I want.
She's just making sure it's being recorded.
It is being recorded. The red light is on.
I didn't realize we're on a time frame.
That doesn't mean shit.
The red light is on.
I mean, do we have a time frame?
I have control of the board.
Oh, man, it's 11:30 already.
It's still early.
Right? That's the scary part.
I know, so, right? We can have a few more drinks and keep going. Let's go.
Exactly. So you've got a drive to keep going. In spite of, or even because of, everything that's happened to you. And I guess that's kind of my final question to you. Is it in spite of, or is it because of, you have found this drive to keep moving forward?
I think, it's probably a big part, like, to kind of show people I can do it. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to try, give it my all. But I mean, there might've been times in my life, I can't. I'm sure I probably have thought of just some things that just popped in my mind. I can't do that. You know, it goes back to, don't say you can't, just try, just do it. Try. And you know, if you don't succeed the first time, that's okay. Do it again. Try again. That's okay. Because you know what? It might hurt like hell, but it's okay. You can try again another day.
The reward is worth it.
The reward can always be worth
it. Exactly.
Okay, I don't need to look at you guys' sex life.
And yet again, we're in the crosshairs. I kind of opened the door on that one, didn't I?
No, I
you gotta stop doing that.
But I think that's exactly right. You're looking at this as, you know, I'm questioning my ability here, but I'm gonna try because this is important and this is meaningful to my life.
Yes.
And I think if more people looked at that instead of, I hate to say it, but I think we've become a culture of, if there's nothing in it for me, why am I doing this? Nobody sees the reward of doing something because it's going to better ourselves or better someone else, whether it be our family, whether it be our community. It's a hard row.
I'm not going to lie, though. When I keep pushing myself to be out in the range and then I outbeat those boys, that's a big reward.
And it, like Clayton said, the reward is always worth it. And like I said,
wait, are we still talking about shooting?
Maybe.
Okay.
But we have to keep driving. And this is something we've talked about before. You know, there's times where you go out to the range and you have a really bad day.
Yeah.
And things just, no matter what happens, nothing goes right. And it's that quicksand, right?
I've had those days.
Right? But you have to push yourself to go back out. And because that's how we improve. And if you're getting lazy and you're deciding that, well, I have this complication or I have this problem, and you're going to use that as a crutch to say I'm not going to do it, you're never going to get there. And at the end of the day, you've got to push those aside and you've got to say, no, I'm going to do this for me, for my family, for whatever the reason is.
Well, going back to what Clayton said about Walk the Talk America, like, they're a good resource to have. Like, it, you know, it's always been something, you know, in our country about talking about our mental health. You know, it's okay to talk to somebody. It's okay to talk to somebody who is a therapist, to get you into that mindset, to make you optimistic, to make you positive, and to keep going and to be a better person. But do it for yourself, for one, but do it for you and your family and your kids and whoever you have. Do it for them as well.
And I guess if you can't do it, you just keep blaming your gun.